My old life, with Lizzie. Bones tried to get me back a few times, and Crow protected me. Eventually, we killed him. And now we've been living happily ever after here in the countryside. She finally turned to me and gave me a smile. I know my story shouldn't have gone that way. I fought my feelings for a long time, and so did he. But that's how I got to where I am. Where are you from? New York? Do you miss it? She stared at the road ahead of her, then shrugged. Honestly, no. There's not much for me to miss. I worked as an engineer for the state, and I enjoyed my job. But I didn't have family or friends. I was kinda a loner. Now I have a husband and a brother. It's nice. She slowed down when she approached the entrance to the vineyard. The wooden gates were open, and the name was carved on the surface. Barsetti Vineyards. She drove slowly over the gravel pathway, toward the Tuscan building that oversaw the fields. A few other buildings were scattered around the estate, along with a sign that said, Daily Tastings. Pearl parked the car, and we got out. Crow is in his office. We'll meet him whenever he decides to come out and play. You want a tour? Sure. This way. Pearl led me to the fields and showed me the grapes on the vine. The purple fruit was much bigger than the kind I saw at the grocery store. Pearl explained they were specifically wine grapes, a variation that was better for the fermentation process. She showed me where the restaurant was, and then the shop where they had antique bottles of wine and other souvenirs. The tasting room is the best. She led me inside a tall building that reminded me of a barn. Inside, there were stacks of barrels that led to the ceiling. A large counter stood in the back of the room where empty wine glasses sat, along with circular tables and chairs. This is where I'll be working. I need to brush up on my Italian. I only know a few words. You'll be doing the wine tastings? I'd been to a few in Connecticut with friends. It was a great way to spend a Saturday, feasting on wine and cheese. During the weekdays, yes. You're welcome to help me. As much as I wanted to get out of the house, I didn't know anything about wine. I'd drink wine occasionally, but I'm not much of an aficionado. I'm not either, so we can learn together. I was grateful she was trying to make me feel better by keeping me busy. When I overheard her tell Kane she wanted to speak to me, I assumed it would turn into a meeting with a shrink. But I didn't feel like I was on display at all. In fact, it felt like a normal day in summer.
I thought I smelled trouble.
A tall man in a tailored suit walked inside, with his hands in his pockets. His suit was black, and the tie down his chest was yellow. He had a dark visage with green eyes, looking dangerous and beautiful at the same time. While some of his features were different, he had a striking resemblance to his brother. He must be Crow. No trouble, Pearl said. Just getting down to work. She walked around the counter and came up to him. Without their even touching each other, I could spot the connection between them. He stared at her like she was the only woman in the room, and she obviously had received that look many times. I almost felt like I was intruding. The heat between them reminded me of the times Kane would stare at me. Sometimes I was fully clothed, and sometimes I was buck naked, but the look was always the same. It was intense, terrifying, and smoldering. Crow walked up to her and angled his neck down to kiss her. It was a quick kiss, but full of restrained attraction. His nose brushed against hers slightly before he pulled away. He turned to me and extended a hand.
You must be Adelina. I'm Crow.
I eyed his hand without taking it, suddenly feeling uncomfortable. Anytime I was near a man, I felt the panic in my veins. But I realized it was a stupid reaction to have. Crow may have kidnapped Pearl, but he obviously loved her. And I was already someone else's prisoner.
Nice to meet you.
I finally took his hand. He gave me a firm shake before he let go.
My wife insisted on bringing you to the winery to pass the time. You must be bored in that big house.
I liked being bored. I liked having the freedom to do what I wanted, or do nothing at all.
It's nice to get out of the house. Everything on TV is in Italian, and I can't understand a word of it.
Me neither, Pearl said. That's why I read. Crow's eyes darted to her face, and they lingered there longer than necessary. He turned back to me.
If you need anything, just ask. I'm at your disposal.
He circled his arm around Pearl's waist, and he kissed her again.
I'll see you later.
He walked away, returning his hand to his pocket. Pearl watched him walk out until he rounded the corner and was gone from sight. She released a quiet sigh before she turned back to me. Maybe she assumed her thoughts weren't as obvious as they were, but I could tell exactly what she was thinking. She was hopelessly in love with her husband.
What do you think of Kane?
Pearl drove me back to the house at the end of the day. She was running late, but didn't seem to care if it ticked him off. Despite the fact that both Crow and Kane were terrifying men, she didn't appear bothered by their anger. That was a complicated question.
What do I think of him?
Yeah. Do you want to stab him in the throat in the middle of the night? The question was ironic because he suggested I pull a similar stunt. No, but he encouraged me to kill him in his sleep, said I should take him out and run for it. Even through her thick sunglasses, I could tell she was surprised.
He said that?
The only reason why I haven't attempted to flee is because of my friend Lizzie. He says I shouldn't stick around for her. He treats me well. But I could never abandon my friend like that. We were in this together, even if we were apart.
He treats you well?
He told me he does, but his definition of well could be different from mine. The only thing I could compare him to was Tristan. Staying with him has been really nice. I don't want to go back. She tilted her head again in surprise.
Really?
I didn't want to go into the details. Even if she experienced the same terror, some things were better left unsaid.
Yeah, I have my own room. I can shower when I want. I can eat when I want.
I'd always had a big appetite, so starving myself had been even more difficult. I constantly had been lightheaded and weak, so when Tristan came after me, I fought him even less. When I go back to Tristan, I'll be chained to a metal pole and kicked in the head. I'm not saying Kane is a good man, but there are different kinds of evil. And Tristan is certainly a much darker shade than Kane will ever be. Pearl faced the road again, and her voice came out much weaker than it ever did before.
You shouldn't be grateful that Kane is treating you like a human being, because you are a human being.
I know, but that's not the way the real world works. I stared out the window and spotted Kane's house in the distance. The moment I was taken, I was no longer a person. I became a punching bag, a whore, and a nobody. Tristan never exposed an ounce of pity when he tortured me. The more I cried and begged for mercy, the more he beat me. I wasn't a human being in his eyes, at all. I'd give anything to turn back time and never leave America. I'd give anything to redo that day. But this is the hand I'm stuck with, and I have to play the game. Pearl shook her head.
No, you don't have to play the game, Adelina. Don't give up like this.
I've never given up. The accusation was insulting, to the core. Every day I hope that something will change. I haven't hung myself because I think the police will track me down. I continue to breathe for the possibility that my life will get better. I endure every day of torture just for the slim chance that I'll be saved. So don't tell me I've given up. I never have, and I never will. I kept my gaze out the window, Kane's house coming closer into view. Don't depend on someone else to save you. The only person you can rely on is yourself. I know, but my hands are tied. I didn't know where Lizzie was or if she was alive, but I chose to believe there was hope for both of us. I know it's not my place to say, but I think Kane is right. You and Lizzie have a better chance of survival if you escape and go to the authorities. You don't know, Tristan. Maybe Pearl had been tortured by a different psychopath, but Tristan was a madman. He won't kill her until he's tortured the life out of her. Only when she's limp and brain dead will he finally cut her head off. I could never live with myself if that happened to her. Pearl didn't press her opinion any longer. I knew she thought I was stupid for not taking her offer to help me. But survivor's guilt was a serious thing, and I couldn't leave my best friend behind. I know you think I'm stupid. I don't think that at all. I think you're brave. My madness was finally complimented. But maybe we can still figure something out. Like what? Crow seemed like a powerful man with lots of resources, and it was obvious he would bend over backward for this woman. I don't know. Maybe we can do some digging and find out where Lizzie is being held. I'll talk to Crow and Kane about it. That would be a dream come true. That would mean the world to me. Pearl pulled into the circular driveway around the fountain, then parked the car. Her hand moved on top of mine and gave me a squeeze. You aren't alone, Adelina. Never forget that.
Chapter 20. Kane. The only reason I didn't scream at Pearl was because I had a tracker in Adelina's arm. I arrived at the house before her, but I was able to pinpoint her location on the road. She was headed back to the house, so I didn't bother giving Pearl a piece of my mind. Adelina walked inside, wearing light jeans with holes in the knees and a black top. She wore a black scarf around her shoulders, looking like a classy Italian woman shielding her beautiful skin from the Tuscan sun. I'd already showered and changed into my sweatpants and t-shirt. The fire was roaring in the hearth, and I had a full bottle of scotch to get through. I'd become addicted to it after seeing my brother drink it since we were teenagers. It would probably kill me someday, but I didn't give a damn. She stopped when she saw me on the couch, her brown hair slightly past her shoulders. I still hadn't seen her with makeup, but she truly had no use for it. Her features were already bright and highlighted on their own. She didn't need anything to bring out her innate sparkle. I sat forward and set my empty glass on the table, and the ice cubes were slowly melting, shifting in the bottom of the glass. How was your day? I asked the question without really caring about the answer. All I wanted was for her to straddle my hips and ride me like she'd been thinking about me all day.
Good. Pearl took me to the winery.
What did you think?
It was pretty. I've been to a few wine tastings back at home, but it was nothing compared to that.
Did you guys drink?
We sampled some of the wine so we could understand the tastes. She said I could help out with the tastings for customers.
And you'd want to do that? She had this beautiful place to herself. She could lounge by the pool, read in the gardens, or just lie in the tub all day. Just because she asked you to do that stuff doesn't mean you need to do it.
I know. It's nice to get out of the house.
I'd bring her to work with me, but no work would get done. I'd fuck her in my office, right on my desk with my pants around my ankles. Phone calls wouldn't be made, and my employees wouldn't get any directions. And Crow would be pissed. You want a drink? I held up the full decanter and grabbed an empty glass. She walked to the couch and sat beside me.
Sure.
I'd never known a woman to handle scotch, and I was impressed she voluntarily chose it. I poured her a glass, then handed it to her. She eyed the amber liquid as she swirled it. Then she brought it to her lips and took a long drink. She didn't cringe as the bitterness flooded her mouth. It was smooth, and she swallowed it like water. You like scotch? I really didn't know anything about her likes and dislikes. I'd never taken the time to ask her anything. So far, I knew she took her coffee with cream and sugar, and she loved it when I went down on her, but that was it.
My dad is a big scotch drinker, so I'm used to it.
She wiped her lips with the back of her arm. When she asked if she could call her parents, I almost felt bad when I said no. Of course, the option was off the table. If Tristan couldn't trust me, everyone else would know the Barsetti name was untrustworthy, and that could be catastrophic for business. Plus, I could end up in jail. But I stuck to my guns and didn't change my answer. So you like it? She tilted her head before she nodded.
Yeah, I guess I do. I like wine, too.
Beer?
I like a good lager here and there.
I smiled when I pictured her drinking a frosty mug of beer while watching Monday Night Football. Anything you don't like?
Margaritas, Cosmos, martinis.
Fruity drinks?
Yeah, pretty much anything you can stick an umbrella in.
I never would have pegged her for such an experienced drinker. Not much of a sweet tooth.
Not true. I love all kinds of sweets, just not when it comes to alcohol. Gives me a sugar crash.
I refilled her glass. I'm glad I have a drinking buddy. I clinked my glass against hers and took a drink.
Misery loves company.
She took another drink, then set the glass on the table.
I met your brother today.
I'm sorry. She chuckled, and it was the first time I'd ever heard her laugh. Her smile was beautiful, and her eyes crinkled in the corners.
He was nice.
I'm guessing he didn't say much then. If he did, you definitely wouldn't describe him in that way. She continued to smile.
You can't fool me, Kane. I know you're fond of your brother.
How so? I didn't talk about him often, and I never introduced them.
I can just tell. Pearl means a lot to you. If she didn't, you wouldn't let her get away with most of the stuff she does.
She'd caught me, so I didn't deny it. I did something terrible to her when we first met. She forgave me when I didn't deserve it, and then she risked her life to save mine so she can do whatever she wants. Adelina was quiet, like she expected me to tell her what I did on my own. When I didn't say anything, she pressed me on it.
What terrible thing did you do?
Pearl would tell her eventually, so I didn't bother hiding it. I nearly beat her to death. I stared at my glass because I couldn't meet her look. I'd never felt more ashamed of my actions until then. Adelina had suffered in the same way Pearl had, and I didn't feel any better than Tristan. In a way, it felt like I had hurt Adelina myself, even though I'd never laid a hand on her. Instead of being repulsed, her voice remained steady.
Why?
Crow and I decided to use her to get revenge for our sister. Crow refused to torture her, so I took it upon myself. He got to the house just in time, and he shot me to get me off her. I rubbed my arm where the bullet had pierced my skin. Later, Bones took me and used me as bait. I was going to wind up dead in a ditch somewhere, but Pearl made the trade without telling Crow, because she knew he needed me. Adelina's breathing slowly increased, her chest rising and falling at a faster rate. Her fingers entwined in her lap, and she stared at the floor. Her thoughts were a mystery behind her eyes, but her emotions were clear. She was terrified of me, and she should be. I would never hurt you. I didn't know what possessed me to say that. I liked being unpredictable, making everyone around me walk on eggshells because they had no idea what I would do. I was capable of anything, even shooting someone between the eyes just for disagreeing with me. It made my employees more productive and my enemies more fearful. But I didn't want Adelina to feel that way. I didn't want her to be scared of me the way she was with Tristan. I desired her in many ways, but I'd never wanted to cause her any harm. She lifted her chin and met my gaze, her mocha eyes brilliant. I couldn't tell what she was thinking. She held her cards close to her chest like this wasn't her first round. She'd been surrounded by terrifying men for a long time now. In her eyes, I probably wasn't any different.
I know.
I stared at her blankly, unable to believe what she'd just said. I confessed that I nearly killed Pearl with my bare hands, and she didn't slide to the other side of the couch. She met my look like she wasn't afraid, even though she had every right to be. Her response didn't make any sense. You know?
Maybe you used to be that way, but I can tell you aren't like that anymore. You're much softer. I saw it when you spoke to Pearl. She said she was disappointed in you, and I could tell you were affected by it.
I was affected by it. I respected Pearl the same way I respected Crow, and not just because she was my brother's wife. She was a strong badass who never gave up. She deserved every ounce of my reverence.
And if you were going to hurt me, you would have done it already. I've seen cruelty with my own eyes, and you aren't it.
I never thought I would take a statement like that as a compliment. It filled my chest with a strange sense of warmth. If someone told me they weren't afraid of me, it would tick me off. I'd been with submissives, and I'd paid whores to whip them across the back, but I never considered doing those things with her, because of what she'd been through.
I think you could be a good man if you really wanted to be,
she whispered.
Pearl told me how Crow used to be. Now he's gentle with her. I saw it with my own eyes. Anyone can change if they want it badly enough.
I'd never wanted to change. I just wish I hadn't made a serious mistake. I don't want to be a good man. I didn't want to stop being a criminal and get a real job. I didn't want to pay taxes. I didn't want to stop killing men who got in my way. I didn't want to settle down with one woman and have kids. I wanted to live outside the law as long as possible. I just don't want to hurt you. There's a big difference. She didn't argue with me, accepting me exactly as I was. She turned her eyes to the fire. I stared at her profile and loved the way the glow hit her cheeks. Her eyes reflected the red flames, making them glitter like diamonds under the sun. There was something about her that absorbed all my focus. I'd had her in my life for nearly 2 weeks, and I wasn't anxious to let her go yet. That was unusual for me. My hand moved into her hair, and I angled her face my way, exposing her mouth for mine to devour. I kissed her slowly, taking my time like usual. The fire crackled in the background, and our breathing increased the longer we embraced. My hand tightened on her neck, and I slowly lowered her to the couch, my tongue diving in at the same time. Her arms circled my neck, and her legs automatically wrapped around my waist. Like a mirror, she showed me exactly the same passion that I gave her, devouring me like she wanted this as much as I did. Her head rested against the back, and her fingers twirled my short strands of hair. Slowly she began to grind against me, feeling my cock through my sweatpants. I moaned into her mouth as I undid her jeans. I got them off quickly, then removed her thong and tossed it over the back of the couch. I didn't bother removing my sweatpants. I yanked them down to my ass along with my boxers so my cock could be free. Then I slid it inside her, feeling the slickness I'd come to expect. Bellissima. The woman caused me to come undone every single time. I couldn't get enough of her, and even when I had her, I still wanted more. I straightened one of her legs and rested it against my chest as I rocked into her, cornering between the armrest and the back of the couch. She grabbed my hips and pulled me harder into her, wanting my length as much as I wanted to give it. Her eyes glowed bright and beautiful once she heard the nickname I'd given her. When I called her that for the first time, I hadn't thought before I said it. It was a natural feeling, and I just went with it. I sucked her bottom lip into my mouth, feeling my balls ache because I enjoyed being buried inside her so much. I love being inside you. I'd never felt more at home with any other woman. The sex didn't need to be crazy or kinky for me to enjoy it. Just thrusting inside her tightness was good enough for me. She kissed me back and moved her hands underneath my shirt. She slowly dragged her nails down my back, giving me gentle squeezes as she went. Sometimes I wanted her to cut me so hard I bled, but I doubt she would comply if I asked. She kissed me harder as her breathing picked up, and suddenly she stopped kissing me altogether. Her breaths turned into pants, and her nails applied more pressure against my bare skin. I'd screwed her enough times to know exactly when she was about to come, and knowing her climax was about to strike made me tense all over. I never cared about giving pleasure as much as I did about receiving it, but I'd always wanted to make her feel good, to show her sex could be incredible. She moaned into my mouth quietly and dug in her nails harder. Her ankles locked together, and she dragged me farther inside her tight pussy, asking for more of my length as she came all around it. I'd never seen a more beautiful sight. After the long day I'd just had, all I wanted to do was fill Adelina with my cum. There was nothing that got me harder. Pumping all my seed inside this beautiful woman who wanted to take it? You want my cum, Bellissima? Her hands moved down to my ass and gripped my cheeks. Her nails dug into the muscle as she yanked me harder into her. Her lips trembled against mine before she spoke.
Yes.
Damn. I shoved myself completely inside her and came with a grunt. My cock twitched in ecstasy, and I felt a surge of joy that I only felt when I was coming inside this woman. I breathed into her mouth as I finished, experiencing the kind of high I would never come down from. I stayed buried inside her as I softened because I had no intention of going anywhere. I thought about her while I was at work all day, and now that she was underneath me with her legs spread, I intended to fuck her all night long. And I intended to make her come all night long. I woke up to the beautiful woman beside me. With lustrous brown hair and elegant cheekbones, she looked like a queen, which would make me her king. I moved on top of her and separated her thighs with my knees. She slowly began to stir, sighing quietly without opening her eyes. Her hands moved to my arms and she adjusted herself automatically, like she did every other morning, even when she was still asleep. I shoved myself inside her and moaned when I felt her warm pussy. She opened her heavy-lidded eyes and looked into my face as I rocked her. Her tits shook with every thrust, and when she moaned, the sound caught in her throat because her voice was raspy from sleeping all night. She pressed one hand against the wooden headboard and used it to rock back into me, her tits jiggling even more. She could call herself a prisoner, but it was obvious she wasn't doing this out of obligation. Not anymore. She loved the sensations our bodies produced when they were joined together. She loved getting fucked as much as I loved fucking her. I had work to do, so I made it a quickie, swiftly getting her off so I could follow right behind her. I deposited more cum inside her, adding to my earlier deposit from the night before. I didn't want this woman to take a single step without it overflowing between her legs and onto the floor. I pulled out of her, then got ready for the work, knowing she would go back to sleep the second she was satisfied. We had an unspoken schedule now. We fucked the first thing in the morning and right when I got home from work. Then we had a few rounds after dinner. It was nice to have good sex without much talking. I didn't need to buy her dinner or tell her how beautiful she was. All I had to do was drop my pants and she knew it was time to fuck. It was a nice setup. I had just poured myself a cup of coffee when Pearl called. What? I barked into the phone.
I know Italy and America are different, but you're supposed to say hello first. You know, be polite.
I drank my coffee and looked out the window. What? I repeated like a smartass. Pearl knew she wouldn't get a different answer from me.
Can you guys come by? Crow and I want to talk about how we're going to help Adelina.
I was tired of having this conversation with Pearl. We already established there was nothing we could do for her.
But now we're wondering if we can help her friend Lizzie, so just come over here.
I have work.
Kane, get your ass over here, or I'll make you.
She hung up. Adelina walked into the room a moment later with her hair pulled into a loose bun. She wore one of my workout t-shirts and skipped the pants altogether. Her long legs were on display and they were toned and perfect. She poured herself a cup of coffee.
Were you talking to Pearl?
Whom I speak to is none of your concern. I didn't like being questioned by anyone, even her. She added a dash of sugar before she looked up at me.
It is my concern when you're talking about me.
She added the cream, then returned the carton to the fridge.
So just answer the question.
My eyes narrowed at her attitude and my arousal spiked. I'm going to Crow's, apparently. Pearl wants to discuss your friend Lizzie. I'd just go to work instead, but I know that brat will follow me there. She was about to sip her coffee when she thought otherwise.
When are we leaving?
I cocked an eyebrow. I'm leaving right now. You're staying here.
Why am I staying back?
She asked.
This conversation is entirely about me.
Because you have no new info to offer, so stay put. Her eyes burned in agitation when she didn't get her way.
I'm not staying here, Kane. I'm coming with you whether you like it or not.
Since when did you start assuming you have any kind of power in this house?
I've always had the power of choice, which you've given me.
She took a long drink of her coffee before she headed out of the kitchen.
Just give me a few minutes to brush my teeth and change.
Maybe I'll just leave without you. I didn't know where my hostility was coming from. Maybe it was because she had more power over me than I would like to admit. I told her I would never hurt her, and I wasn't sure why I said it at all. My cock was obsessed with her pussy, and she made me think about sex around the clock. I didn't like all these changes I was experiencing. I began to feel helpless, to feel inferior to this beautiful woman.
And maybe I'll just take one of your cars and meet you there.
We pulled into the driveway and parked our car along the curb. The valet knew not to touch my ride, so I left it in the gravel and headed to the front door. Without thinking twice about it, I grabbed Adelina's hand. She glanced down but didn't make a remark. My gesture was more due to possession than affection. It was a form of leash, keeping her close by so she couldn't run off somewhere, or so she couldn't be taken. I rang the doorbell and was quickly greeted by Lars.
"Good morning, Mr. Barsetti."
Lars gave a slight bow, but kept his nose upturned at the same time. He'd never forgiven me for what I did to Pearl. He never voiced his dislike, but I noticed the difference in his mannerisms. He'd been working for my family since I was a child, and I knew his body language better than he gave me credit for.
"This must be Miss Adelina."
Lars bowed to her, this time genuine and full of kindness.
"Pleasure to meet you. I'm Lars, the butler."
"The pleasure is mine,"
she said with a smile.
"You're so cute."
Lars immediately blushed, and I swore his ears twitched.
"That's, very kind of you to say. Right this way. Follow me."
He walked in front of us and guided us to the dining room where Crow usually took his meals. I pressed my lips to her ear. "I'm jealous you never call me cute."
"Because you aren't."
"Ouch." I brushed it off with a smile and guided her into the dining room. Pearl and Crow were there, sitting across from one another with lunch on the table. Tuscan sandwiches along with a bottle of wine garnished the surface. Pearl stood up to greet Adelina with a hug.
"I'm glad you came. I figured Kane would have kept you cooped up at the house. He tried."
Adelina shot me a glare before she walked around the table and greeted Crow. Crow stood up and preemptively stuck out a hand before she could hug him in the way she just hugged Pearl. She took his hand and shook it.
Thanks for inviting me into your home.
Even the handshake made my skin prickle with unease. My brother was just as good-looking as I was, and he put on quite a display with his fancy house and cute butler. The Barsetti blood was full of attraction. My mother was a model in France before she met my father, who was ruggedly handsome like the two of us. I couldn't tell exactly what I was jealous of, him or her. I pulled out a chair for her. Sit. Adelina stared at the chair, then gave me a cold look. The only time she seemed to be responsive to commands was when we were getting frisky. The rest of the time it was like telling a solid wall what to do. Pearl pressed her lips together tightly and tried not to laugh. Crow didn't hide the smirk on his face. I cleared my throat and looked at Adelina again. Please. Adelina finally took a seat once I said the magic word. I took the seat beside her, where Pearl had been sitting before. I didn't care about taking her seat since I wanted to be beside Adelina and have her nowhere near Crow. If he wanted to get his revenge for what I did to Pearl, I wouldn't blame him. I doubted he would hurt her, not while Pearl was still breathing, but I couldn't be too cautious. Pearl, this was your idea. How do you want to start? Crow and I didn't even say hi to each other when I walked in. He and I never embraced each other because we saw each other too much as it was. It was hard to believe Pearl and I were close since she was so distant now. The second I'd picked up Adelina, she turned her back on me. I hated to admit it, but I missed that relationship. It felt like I lost Vanessa all over again.
Maybe this was my idea, but we're all in this together.
Pearl spoke to all of us, but her eyes were directed at me.
We need to figure out a way to get Adelina out of this nightmare. She's an innocent person and deserves to be free.
I've never argued the contrary. I couldn't stop myself from being cold. I'd repeated myself 100 times to Pearl, but she never listened to what I said. I didn't agree with Adelina's treatment, but I was going to stick to the deal I made with my client. Business always came first.
Nor have I, Crow added. But there's only so much we can do. You know that, Button.
Button?
Adelina asked.
That's what I call her, Crow explained. The pet name.
Oh.
Adelina glanced at Pearl's ring and seemed to make the connection. Pearl leaned over the table and focused her attention on Adelina.
Do you have any idea where Lizzie could be? Have any information at all? No,
Adelina answered.
When was the last time you saw her?
Crow asked.
What happened?
Adelina stared at the table in silence, taking her time before she could utter a response.
Two men jumped into the back of the taxi and pulled sacks over our heads.
Her voice was nothing like I was used to. It wasn't deep and powerful. It wasn't beautiful. It was just broken.
I couldn't see much then, but I was punched until I was knocked out. I remember Lizzie screaming, but that's it. The next time I woke up, Lizzie and I were in a room together on a moth-eaten mattress sitting on the floor. Our wrists were handcuffed together. We tried to find a way out, but with our hands bound, we couldn't reach the window. And that's when Tristan came in with one of the men and looked at us. His eyes moved to me first, and he said he liked what he saw. So he dropped his pants and went after me. Lizzie tried to protect me.
She closed her eyes and went silent, as if she couldn't go on anymore. Crow lowered his gaze, giving her the privacy to mourn. Pearl's eyes were filled with tears. I dreaded hearing any more, but I needed to hear the rest.
Tristan knocked her out, then raped me. Twice. I fought him as hard as I could, but that just made him want me more. Blood was everywhere. My hair was ripped out of my scalp. When he finished, he bought both of us and...
Adelina's eyes filled with enormous tears and her bottom lip trembled. She sniffled and stifled a cry before she covered her face with her hands and stormed out of the room. No one chased after her. I listened to the sound of her sobs until they disappeared somewhere inside the house. I had no idea where she went, but I wouldn't be surprised if she went outside to the back patio. It was the only place she would find privacy. Pearl wiped the tears from her eyes, then stared at the table. Crow watched her, his protective gaze always casting a heavy shadow. His hand finally moved to the center of her back where he rested it, like he was feeling her heartbeat with his palm. With a stoic expression that mirrored my own, he stared at her like her feelings didn't matter, but his affection said otherwise. I watched them together, as I had hundreds of times. My brother never admitted to me that he loved her, but I was convinced of his true affection a long time ago. It was subtle hints like that that gave him away. Pearl relaxed noticeably when she felt him console her. She lifted her wet eyes and looked at me.
"Aren't you going to go after her?"
The thought crossed my mind. There's nothing I can do for her. I was just another man using her, not any different from Tristan. I didn't have the right to make her feel better.
That's not true, and you know it.
Pearl gave me that look of disappointment again, that look that I despised. When she expected me to do more, I wanted to reach her standards. When she asked me to do something, I wanted to obey. That was just how brothers were with their sisters. I found Adelina sitting in the shade of a tree on the grass. It was the exact same place where Crow and Pearl got married a few months ago. I found it ironic that she picked that particular spot to let her tears fall. I walked across the grass and tried to make my footsteps loud so she could hear me. I didn't want to catch her off guard when she was already vulnerable. I wasn't a fan of crying women. Reminded me of a baby, and I definitely didn't like babies. Pearl didn't shed a single tear when I beat her, and I respected her for it. When Adelina heard me coming, she took a deep breath and steadied her tears. She wiped her eyes on the back of her forearm and quickly wrapped her arms around her waist when she was finished. There was no way she thought she actually fooled me, but maybe hiding it as much as possible made her more comfortable. I lowered myself to the ground beside her and stared straight ahead just in case she didn't want me to look at her. I didn't ask if she was okay because obviously she wasn't. I didn't ask if she wanted to talk about it because if she did, she would say something. There was no instruction manual when it came to these situations. As a man, I would never understand how it would feel to be a woman. I would never know what it was like to be prey when I was always the predator. I'm here. In whatever way you need me, I'm here. And that was the best I could think of, the best thing I could say. She pulled her knees to her chest and wrapped her arms around her knees.
I'm sorry for walking out like that, I just...
You don't need to apologize. It was ludicrous for her to think she needed to.
Talking about it makes it more real. When I talk about it, I feel like I'm living it all over again.
I know what you mean.
Lizzie threw herself on top of me and kicked him in the face. She had no chance against him, but she tried anyway. She wanted him to take her over me.
I stared straight ahead when I heard the tears in her voice again.
That's why I can't run, not when she tried to help me.
Now I understood her stubbornness.
I'll get over this. I want to help as much as I can, but talking about it, it's just hard. I haven't had anyone to talk to about anything, and now there are the three of you to listen. I'm not used to it.
You can just talk to me if that would be easier, I offered. I can work with them and leave you out of it.
She nodded. Maybe.
I finally looked at her, seeing the tear stains on her cheeks. There were little riverbeds in her skin, and her tears collected as drops on her chin. The sight of her wet eyes was worse than the sound of her tears. I felt sick to my stomach when I pictured the story she weaved. Her only crime was taking a vacation to celebrate her success. She went out to see the beauty of the world but got caught in the darkness instead. It was wrong. My arms circled her shoulders, and I pulled her into me, lending my shoulder for her to lean on. She moved with the gesture and rested her cheek against me. She closed her eyes and took a deep breath like the touch was exactly what she needed. I looked down at her and saw the small drops in her thick lashes. My lips wanted to kiss them away, to kiss away all the tears that still clung to her cheeks. When she hurt, I hurt. That was a sensation I'd never felt before. I moved my lips to her temple and kissed her in a way I'd never kissed a woman before. My lips felt her hairline and smelled the vanilla scent of her shampoo. Instead of pulling away, I kept my mouth resting against her warm skin. I wanted to tell her everything was going to be okay, but that was too cruel. It wasn't going to be okay. In 2 weeks, I'd have to return her to her tormentor without looking back.
Cain?
Hmm?
I want you to do something for me, and I want you to promise to do it before I tell you what it is.
You know I can't do that, but I can try. She sat up again and tucked her hair behind her ear.
I don't want to go back. I can't live like that anymore.
I didn't blame her.
So I want you to kill me.
I didn't react because I could hardly believe what she said.
I'd rather die than live the rest of my life this way. But you can't kill me, and it can't look like suicide either. Otherwise he'll kill Lizzie. So I need something to make it look natural.
She was really asking me to help with her own suicide.
Like a pill or something. Something that will give me a heart attack or make me die in my sleep.
She said it without emotion, like we were having a business meeting that neither one of us wanted to attend.
You can get something like that, right?
The idea of her dying gave me a sudden jolt of terror. I pictured her handcuffed to the bed with eyes wide open, the life gone from her body. Her heart stopped working and her lungs stopped breathing. It was terrifying. But I couldn't argue with her logic. I'd either die trying to escape or die because I shot myself in the head. Doesn't it make more sense to escape than to kill yourself? Lizzie wouldn't want you to take that alternative. She shook her head.
I'm not going to betray my best friend just so I can live, and I'm not going to suffer any longer. I'd rather just end it.
While it was heartbreaking, I respected her devotion to her friend.
Cain,
she pressed.
You can do that for me, right?
I didn't want her to do this, but there was nothing I could do to change her circumstances. She was just a stranger to me, a woman I was fucking for my own sick pleasure. What happened to her after she left wasn't my concern, and I would do the same thing if I were in her situation. If someone were threatening me with Crow, I would cooperate even if I didn't know he was alive. Yeah, I can do that for you.
Thank you.
But we might be able to track Lizzie down. Don't give up just yet. She leaned her head back on my shoulder and hooked her arm through mine.
We both know it's not going to happen, Cain. I have to prepare for the worst.
The sounds of her sobs woke me up. She was having a nightmare, the kind that made her kick me in the side and scream into the pillow. Whenever I slept with her, I always slept like a log. The second my eyes closed, it was already morning, but tonight was a deviation from the norm. She twisted in her sleep, her arms over her head. Bellissima. I grabbed both of her wrists and pinned them above her head so she wouldn't hurt herself. Wake up! She twisted against my grasp, tears streaming down her cheeks. You're here with me. I kissed her tears, then pressed my mouth to hers. She responded almost immediately, her lips softening at my touch. Her hands no longer fought against my hold, and she finally opened her eyes.
Cain.
She released the breath she was holding and wrapped her arms around my shoulders. She held on to me tightly and buried her face in my chest. Her legs hooked over my waist, and she breathed deeply, subduing her own panic. Like a frightened cub looking for protection, she clung to me like I was the only thing that could keep her safe. I'm right here. My hand moved into her hair and I kissed her on the temple. It's all right. My lips moved to her cheek, then her neck. It's just you and me inside these four walls. She moved closer into my chest and slowed her breathing. Her normally soft skin was covered with sweat, and her body was scorching hot, but I didn't push her away. She closed her eyes and slowly returned to a state of calm. I continued to stroke her hair and stare at her features. They were contorted into a look of pain before they slowly began to soften once more. All the things I loved about her face began to return, like the slight glow of her cheeks and the softness of her mouth. My fingers traced her soft strands, then moved to her neck. I touched her pulse in her veins and felt it vibrate under my fingertip. It was like a lullaby to me, feeling that rhythmic sound slow until it reached gentle pace. I never wanted that vein to go quiet, for those eyes to close forever. It seemed like such a waste. I kissed her on the mouth again, even though I was certain she was already asleep. I loved those lips like they were made for me to enjoy. My breath escaped my mouth and entered her throat, feeling just right. I had to stop myself before I woke her up again. I stared at her eyes until mine grew heavy. When I couldn't keep them open any longer, they closed, and I slipped into a dreamless slumber. And I think she did too. I examined the handgun my designer created. Not as heavy as a typical weapon, the steel had been blended with a lighter material, making the gun a quarter lighter than average. They would sell like hotcakes, no matter what I priced it at. Good work. Vox nodded in appreciation.
I can get it a bit lighter. Need to tweak a few things.
Let me know when you do. I returned the gun to the table just as Crow approached. I didn't know he was on base because he was secretive with his visits. I did most of the work with the production and shipments. He stopped by whenever he felt like it. What do you think? He examined the gun, then opened the barrel. His fingers slid along the metal before he shut the barrel again and set it on the table. Fine piece of weaponry. I'd like one once it's out of production.
Sure thing, Crow,
Vox answered. I walked away since the conversation was over. How's she doing? Crow's voice came up behind me since he was following me. I stopped and turned around, standing with Crow in the assembly warehouse. The police knew exactly where we were and what we did for a living, but they didn't bother us. While we committed crimes every day, we respected the police and never worked against them. The only kind of organized crime we did involved other criminals. The police came after us once a long time ago. They quickly learned to turn their cheeks and mind their own business. She's fine. I assumed he was talking about Adelina and her emotional breakdown at the house the other day. Pearl is concerned about her. She doesn't need to be. Crow and I would never figure out where Lizzie was being held unless we questioned Tristan ourselves. For the sake of our business relationship and any further transactions, we didn't stick our noses where they didn't belong. It was bad business. She's a strong girl. I can tell. She reminds me of Pearl. The jealousy shot through me at the comparison. I didn't want him to view my woman in the same light as his wife. Crow must have caught the look on my face because the corner of his mouth rose. She's pretty, but not my type. Even that comment made me angry. Crow grinned harder. Forget I said anything. If I said Pearl was pretty, he wouldn't like it one bit. I walked off again, not in the mood to talk to him. Crow trailed behind me. 2 weeks left. That's going to go by quickly. It already had gone by too fast. Did you want something? I thought you weren't a fan of girl talk. I tried to talk to him about Pearl a few times when his head was shoved up his ass. He wasn't fond of it. Are you really going to give her back to Tristan? I walked into the main entryway and headed for the bar. Yes, that was part of the deal. I poured him a glass without asking because I knew he never turned down a drink. And that's it? He swirled the glass before he took a drink. You just send that poor girl back to the devil? My eyes narrowed. You're one to talk.
You kept Pearl as a prisoner for months. He shrugged. This isn't about me. This is about you. And the situations aren't comparable. I never borrowed her from Bones. I took her. Yes, I'm sending her back. She would take the cyanide pill shortly after she returned, and she would die in the middle of the night when no one was paying attention to her. Her death would be violent and painful, but at least her misery would be over. I would never tell Crow what her plans were since he would tell Pearl. Crow eyed me with his dark gaze, studying my expression like my thoughts were written across my face. He took another drink before he spoke his mind.
You seem fond of her.
How so?
You comforted her pretty well.
I didn't do much. I'm not as evil as you think I am. I have some compassion.
You showed her more than compassion. I saw it.
I was sleeping with her, so we shared a lot of affection. All of our embraces had become natural, like we'd been a committed couple for years. The woman broke down after talking about being raped. If you think I'm going to stand by and do nothing, then you don't know me very well. He shook his glass, then finished it off.
Did you ever ask Tristan if you could buy her?
I wasn't going to waste my time.
No. You don't want to pay for her, or you just don't care?
Neither. After being with that woman every night, I knew she was priceless, like the rarest and most beautiful diamond in the world. She was one of a kind. Tristan would never let her go, no matter what I offered. It was a shame he didn't treat her better, keep her healthy. She would waste away quickly under the conditions.
She's not for sale.
Crow shook his head.
I wish you'd never accepted the exchange. Adelina is all Pearl can talk about anymore.
I wanted to say I regretted the decision too, especially since I had to give her back, but I knew I didn't. I enjoyed every morning and every night of having that woman in my bed, of being between her legs. It is what it is.
I feel sorry for you,
he said suddenly, his words out of nowhere.
Why? You act like you don't care, but I know giving her back is going to be hard. I'd feel like shit.
I already did feel like shit. None of this is my fault, so I don't feel bad about it.
Everything that happened to Pearl wasn't my fault either, but that shit still haunts me.
That's your wife, it's different. He tossed the leftover ice into the sink, then set the glass on the counter.
Even before she was my wife, it still haunted me.
Chapter 21. Adelina. I woke up that morning with the sun right in my face. The curtains were already open, even though it was early. But it was a nice way to wake up. My hand moved across the sheet beside me, but only came into contact with the bedding. Kane was gone. I opened my eyes and sat up. I stretched my arms over my head and released a yawn just as the door opened. Kane walked inside, with a breakfast tray in his hands. On the surface sat two plates of pancakes, bacon, and eggs with a shared side of toast and two coffees.
Just in time.
I watched the steam rise to the ceiling in the morning light, and felt my stomach tighten in hunger. I'd had plenty to eat the night before because Kane and I had a big dinner, but all the food looked delicious, and the fact that he was serving it to me made it better. You made that for me? He set it on the bed, then moved beside me.
For both of us.
Like he hadn't just done something incredibly sweet and out of character, he opened the newspaper and took a bite of his bacon. I watched him read before I helped myself to the buffet he'd just presented to me, unsure why he went out of his way to do something so thoughtful. No man had ever cooked for me before, let alone brought me breakfast in bed. I eyed his newspaper and read the front. The New York Times? I didn't think he would read something American when he didn't even live there.
I like to keep up to date with international events. This paper does a good job covering that. Local newspapers usually focus on the capital and other cities. Most of my business takes place beyond our borders. I didn't truly understand what he did, and I thought I'd ask. So, what do you do exactly?
I'm an arms dealer.
He didn't stop reading.
I told you that.
So, you make weapons and sell them?
In a nutshell.
How did you get into that business? He shut his paper because he realized this conversation wasn't going to go anywhere.